Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Oh, praise God. I know many of us have read the scriptures over and over and over over the years. But God might just begin to open our eyes to another dimension to this scripture. We're very grateful for the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation that is coming to bring about an awakening in the members of the body of Christ today upon the earth. If you are listening to this message, stay tuned and listen to what God has got to say to you. You might receive something here today that might just turn your life around. See, that missing, you know, bit of the puzzle in your life might just be found today when you hear this message. Praise God. So the psalmist is saying, lift up, you know, your heads, all you get. Open your everlasting doors and let the King of glory enter in. And who is the King of the glory? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Praise God. Of course, many people would have limited these scriptures to Jesus. Many people will probably limit the scripture to some future prophecy of the second coming of Christ as he enters into Jerusalem, situated in the Middle East. But God has got much more in store for us. Praise God. Now the mystery of this scripture, I just hit the nail on the head directly, is God revealing our entrance back into God's kingdom, our entrance back into God's glory. The Bible makes it clear that there are two men in the eyes of God. Two men in the eyes of God. There is the man of the earth, the man of the dust, and there is the man of the spirit, which is the man from heaven. The man of the earth is the old Adamic man. He is the carnal creature of the earth. We can call him an imaginary creature who really has no eternal value, no eternal significance. He is the man that is weak and inglorious. He is the man that is subject to a corruptible nature and cannot please God. Neither can he know God. He is cut off from the life of God. That is the man of the earth. And he goes into ruin and destruction. He goes into perdition. But there is a second man which is known of God, which is actually the only man in reality. And that is the Lord from heaven. This is the Lord from heaven. See it? So we are seeing two men, the earthly man, which is the old Adamic man, and there's the heavenly man, which is the Lord from heaven. And the mystery of the ages is that we have all borne the image of the man of the earthly identity. That's the man of the dust. See, we all have been born into this world and we have lived lives as natural, carnal human beings. But God is about to turn that thing around by the power of his word, by the transforming power of the spirit, of the spoken word. He's converting us so that we can now live according to the man from heaven, which is the Lord himself. There are no two lords, there is only one Lord. See, there is no Lord Jesus Christ, one, you know, one part of heaven and another Lord somewhere. There is only one Lord, the Lord from heaven. Praise God. You see this in 1 Corinthians. Let us look at this one. We'll just refresh our mind. It says, the first man, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47, the first man is of the earth, Ephi, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the Ephi, such are they also that are Ephi, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You see, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You see, it says all. We all have borne the image of the earthly, and we all shall bear the image of the heavenly. That there is no condition attached to this. The Lord's will be performed in our lives. See, and the Lord's will is that as many as see the Lord Jesus Christ should live, that is, as many as can comprehend the mystery of Christ and conform themselves to Christ, they shall live. That is the will of God. See, so we all have a calling. We all have, you know, the will of God hovering over our lives, that we rediscover ourselves back in the Lord from heaven, back bearing the same image of the heavenly man, which is Christ Jesus, because we call him Christ Jesus in this age, but bear it in mind that he has always been. This is the man of the spirit. So that we are all called to bear that image of the heavenly. Praise God. This is the Lord from heaven. This is the Lord of hosts. This is the King of glory. This is our crown throughout eternity. This is our, you know, exceeding great reward from the Lord of hosts, that we bear the image of the Lord from heaven. Praise God. I just want you to take some time out. Could be days, weeks. Meditate on these scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15. Chapter 15 from verse 47, and you will let it dawn on you what God's will is for your life. Praise God. Because many people are still recognizing a Jesus Christ externally, but God wants you to let it, you know, to let the focus be on the inside of you. Amen. God. So the focus is not on Jesus Christ outside in heaven, but Christ in you. That is the focus of the gospel. That is what God wants you to realize in its totality. To recognize the image of God in you. Praise God. First of all, the trumpet sounds. Understanding comes. The voice of God begins to quicken us, awaken us from the dead, and gives us entrance back into his kingdom. Praise God. So the King of glory is a reference to you and I as we awake from the deadness of our humanity, as we are quickened by the word of life, as we begin to hear the voice of our master, as we begin to hear the voice of truth, we are waking. And we know that Christ is not of this world. He's not of this natural, temporal world. He's of an eternal kingdom. He might be in this world for a moment, but he's not of this world. He's of another realm, another kingdom. An invisible, eternal kingdom. A kingdom that has no beginning, neither does it have an end. A kingdom in which is all the power of God invested. Praise God. So, a gate has been ministered to us Christians, an open gate, an open door, which God wants us to recognize this hour and begin to pass through by faith. There's nothing to expect outside. All you need to do is to hear the voice of the Spirit, to hear the voice of your master, See it. You don't have to look out for signs of earthquakes. You know, signs of, you know, like people look out for end of the world and all that kind of stuff. No. What you have to do is to hear and recognize the voice of your master as he calls you into glory, as he calls you to arise from the dead, to come out from darkness and come into the light. Praise God. So this is the door, the gates. It's a gate that leads us into an internal realm, the realm of the spirit. Because the Lord from heaven is not of the earth, he's from heaven. Even while Jesus Christ ministered on earth with a physical body here upon the earth, he made it clear that he was in heaven. He says, no one has been to heaven except the Son of Man who is in heaven. Meaning that Jesus Christ, even while here on earth, he was walking in another realm, in another dimension, a dimension that is not known of men. He was walking in the spirit. See, he was walking in the heavenly realm. Praise God. And we all are called to walk as he walked, to do the very things that he did, so that where he is where we are. And we know that he is in God's kingdom. He is in the realm of the spirit. He is in the realm of the invisible. Praise God. So as revelation comes, God expects us to loosen ourselves from the lies of our human existence, to loosen ourselves from the elements that bound us to this outer world of darkness, and to begin to penetrate back into the heavens through that open door. The door is open, and God leaves his gates open for everybody to enter, but it's left for us to recognize this door and to allow the transformation take place in us. This is what the Bible calls born again. That anybody who will enter into the kingdom of God must be born again, must be transformed, because the natural man of the earth cannot enter into God's kingdom. We must be transformed back into the image of Christ, who is the Lord from heaven. Praise God. And as we are transformed, we have entrance into God's kingdom. Praise God. Somebody might ask, how do we transform ourselves? How do we transform ourselves? It comes by hearing the voice of the Lord. It comes by hearing the truth of your existence. It comes about hearing, you know, the truth about your true nature, and conform yourself to that true nature, adhering strictly to that nature. That is what causes you, you know, to be set free from the bondages of corruption, from the bondages, you know, that tie men to an outer material world of darkness. Praise God. Now, if you go to the verses preceding, that is, you know, the verses in Psalm chapter 24, the verses, you see that they are all tied together. Psalm 24, those are the verses preceding what we just read in Psalm verse 7 downwards. I start from verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not, you know, lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfulness, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O God, O Jacob. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, are you listening? Now, after this scripture, now it talks about open all ye gates, let the King of glory enter. Now, the King of glory that enters in to God's kingdom is the one that has fulfilled this, what we just read in Psalm chapter 21 from verse 1. It is those who have exercised themselves in godliness by loosening themselves from vanity. It's all about spiritualizing ourselves. See, it's all about purifying ourselves from the elements of this world. That which contaminates man, that which corrupts man, is his attachment to this outer world. You have jealousy, hate, lust, and you know, numerous, you know, ills in humanity today because men are simply attached to the outer world, the outer temporal world. Praise God. But when you get a revelation of who you are, when you get a revelation that of yourself as a light being, as a spiritual being who has been from the beginning with the Father, you begin to loosen yourself from the grip of corruption. You begin to walk in the Spirit, exercising yourself in the Spirit, and letting go of all, so that you can have the name of the Lord. See, these are those who can ascend. Those who ascend the holy hill of the Lord are those who are able to loosen themselves from the exterior world. The exterior, that is the outer temporal world. Because all that we see with the physical natural eyes, all darkness, it's all temporary, you know. It has got no eternal value. And as long as we have our hearts fixed on these things, our eyes fixed on this natural world, there is no way we can find ourselves, you know, guiltless and enter into God's kingdom. Those who will enter into God's kingdom are those with clean hearts, pure hearts. See it, and it's only those who can rediscover themselves or confirm themselves back to Christ, because Christ is not of this world. So I remember one of these, you know, the numerous, you know, meetings Jesus had with people. A young man came with an inheritance problem, and you know, he came to Jesus, and you know, he told Jesus to act as a judge to separate, to settle the, you know, the inheritance dispute within the family. He had a brother, and he wanted to settle he wanted Jesus to settle the inheritance, you know, issue. And Jesus Christ made it clear to him that he had no part in that. See, and that, your inheritance issues, you that struggle over material things, those are things of men of this earth. See, I don't need to struggle for that. I have my own kingdom. I have my own goods in the Spirit. I am not of this world. Praise God. So you can see, when you walk to get yourself to the place of innocence, like Jesus is, we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Recognizing the Spirit, entering by faith into the eternal realm of God. Recognizing your true substance and living by that true substance. Praise God. You must loosen yourself from your humanity, loosen yourself from the things that hold you bound to the natural. Loosen yourself from your earthly identity, what your parents called you when you were a child. You see, what you thought you are in this world, where you come from, and all these things. And I am American, I'm Canadian, I'm African, I'm black, I'm female, I'm white, I'm this and that. Forget all that. Those things have no value. If you know yourself the way you are known of God, you know that you are invisible, that you are light, that you are not of this world. Before this world was, you are, and you continue even after this world. See, as long as we continue on in this lower realm where men walk, we live in tribulation. We are absent from the Lord. We cannot access the open gates into God's kingdom. See, we cannot find those gates that are open for the King of Glory to enter, because the King of Glory is only Christ. It's only Christ that can enter into God's kingdom. God's kingdom is for Christ. It's the kingdom of God's dear Son. So it's not a kingdom for man. No man can enter in. No man can know the place of life. It's only those who have transformed themselves and lost their lives in this world of appearances and hold on to their eternal substance, which is Christ within. These are the ones that enter in. Praise God. So the open gates, an opening in the spirit realm that God has furnished for each and every one of us to enter back into glory. There are many, many instances in this scripture, in the Bible, where God makes reference to that gate. See it? Jesus Christ, in many of his parables, talk about, you know, in that day many will come, you know, trying to enter into that gate, saying, I did this in your name, I did that in your name. And he will say, I know you not. Get out of my sight, you workers of iniquity. Get out into the realm of outer darkness, into the place of where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Get out of my sight. Praise God, in reality, there is no gate anywhere where anybody tells you to enter into. It's not a physical thing. These are things that happen in your consciousness. Praise God. It's simply an elevation, you know, from the realm of outer darkness into the realm of light. See, and the only one that can ever pass through that gate is Christ himself, the Son of God. That's why he says, I know you not. Christ only knows Christ. Because besides him, there is no other. There is only one man in the eyes of God, and that is Christ. You see, so there's no way a man can enter into that place of life. Oh, hallelujah. So just, we need to just awaken in us and convert ourselves, be conformed to find entrance into God's kingdom through that open door. Hallelujah. It's open, but the condition is that we must let go of our attachments to the outer and begin to walk according to the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's move on. I want to show you something in the book of Revelation. What John the Apostle saw when he entered through the gates. The book of Revelation is a book that actually gives us a peep into the things to come in God's glorious kingdom. It gives us a peep into the processes that occur as the unveiling process occurs in us. We are being unveiled. See, the mystery of God in us is being, you know, fulfilled, and we begin to understand these things as we read the book of Revelation. The mystery of God, like we've always said, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, all along people have been looking out for somebody out there. People have been looking out for something out there, not knowing that everything that they ever needed was within them. Oh, hallelujah. So John had a first-hand peep into the Spirit. And God is using allegories here, to show us what is beyond that open door or that open gate which God is giving us entrance into in this hour. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. After this I look, and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. That means I will show you things to come. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. Praise God. Now let's stop there. I don't want to go further because this is another message entirely. Now, this, you know, John had this experience, you know. God was just simply trying to teach us things to come. Some of them might ask, what are things to come? Things to come simply talk about things to come in the age of Christ. Things to come as we are entering into God's kingdom. See it? We have lived as men in vanity, in darkness, in death. But we know Christ has come to give us life. Christ has come to ship us into a new reality, into God's kingdom, God's world. where we can live with authority and peace, where we can live in the glory of God once more. So these are things to come. We all must pass through that open door. It's not something in heaven like I've explained. It's not something that occurs tomorrow when we die. The door is a spiritual door that we pass through in our consciousness as we are waking from the dead. As we are waking from our human, the false, you know, sense of human living into the light, we pass through that door into God's kingdom. Praise God. And remember that Jesus Christ said the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. It's where God may be found. It's within you, it's not without. It's not in the physical skies. It's a spiritual reality. Praise God. So when John passes through that door, he's going through a spiritual experience. And God is telling us in this hour, come up hither. Awake from the dust. Come up. Come up from human, your human living. Be elevated. Come up from the realm of devils, from ignorance, and be elevated into the realm of light. Come up hither. Come up so that you'll be where I am. That is the call to you and I in this hour. And as we come up hither, we enter in through that door. Praise God. And what happens? As he enters into that door, he sees a throne in heaven. And he sees one seated upon the throne. Praise God. And it was a glorious sight. Now this thing might shock you, but I want you to understand that that one upon the throne, it's simply a reflection of you and I as we enter into our rest and into our glory. Because as we enter back into God's kingdom, we all inherit one throne, which is the throne of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We all are seated together on that throne, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, ruling and reigning. Hallelujah. So that everything in us becomes subject to us. We go back into the power control, the control tower, where we rule and we reign in perfect peace, where nothing can touch us. Nothing from without can tamper with our peace and with our joy. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody might ask, but how can it be? How can I say the one seated upon the throne is you and I? Yes. As we are waking, you know, from the dead, we discover that we are seated together with God on the throne of God, ruling and reigning with God. See, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, people think it's just that word applies only to Jesus of 2,000 years ago. No. That word applies to Christ. It applies to those who are waking in that true image of God that you were created in the beginning. When you are waking back in the spirit, you discover yourself ruling and reigning with Christ. Isn't it wonderful? See, and when you rule and reign, you sit on the throne and you rule and you reign. Oh, hallelujah. That is you and I seated in heavenly places. We are the ones seated on the throne of God. Amen. What John was seeing was a mirror image of himself in the glory of God, seated, ruling and reigning with Christ. Hallelujah. If you go quickly to the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, look at what, you know, the Lord says by the Spirit. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. If you have ears, listen to the word of life today. Because we are hearing precious truths. Not everybody can comprehend this. Not everybody can receive this. See, but God is saying in clear language here that if we overcome, what are you overcoming? You are overcoming the world, overcoming the man of the flesh, overcoming the hypocrisy of humanity, overcoming the darkness of this world, the lies of this world, and awakening in Christ. If you overcome, you discover yourself seated back on the throne of God. ruling and reigning with God. This is the promise. This is what God gave to us from the beginning. When God created man, he said, let him have dominion over all. Let him rule and reign. That is kingship, authority. Oh, hallelujah. And that is what God wants to restore to us. With kingship and authority, there is no fear. There's unlimited faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing can tamper out your emotions. You are in control. The things on without cannot touch you. Because you are in control. Ruling and reigning. Amen. Now, if you let your family problems hurt you and make you roll on your bed and cry day and night and get bitter and angry, simply means you're not in control. So if you allow things from the outside, the state of your bank account affect you, affect your emotions, affect your thinking, it means that you're not in control. See, if the economies of this world or the things that happen outside can affect your emotions, it means that you're not in control. You see, God does not fall down to die and cry and to lose authority and to lose self-control and to lose patience and love when people curse him or when things go down wrong upon the earth. You know how many times some of us Christians have, fallen short of the glory of God? How many times we've done things that are uncalled for? And God remains God. He does not fall down from his throne. See, we have to come to the place where we rule and we reign with Christ. Ruling and reigning in all authority. Praise God. And that can occur as we overcome the lies of our human existence. As we conform ourselves to Christ. Amen. You've heard the word. God wants us to enter in by conforming. God wants us to receive this word of truth and go in continuity. Let this thing take a hold on us. Some of us have heard these messages for years. See, but we've not been able to claim the victory because we've not yet been able to let go of humanity. We've not been able to let go that what we see is all temporal. We've not been able to let go and trust in the name of God. See, but for how long are we going to go round and round and outside, hearing messages and going from revival to revival, message to message? You see? Always listening, always hearing, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to come to the knowledge of the truth, to realize this truth, that we are Christ, that all of our power and authority is invested in us. God wants us to experience it, enter into it. So this is what we should strive for daily, brethren. Awake. Awake from the dead. Awake from your human existence. Awake from the lies of humanity. Ascend back into the glory of your Father. Recognize the open door. It's always open. God never shuts the door on any man. Praise God. He never shuts the door on any man. Men shut the door on themselves by refusing to conform to the truth. See, by carrying on in the folly of human living. That is what closes the door on man. God does not close the door on anybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the gate that the righteous will enter in. It is the place that we enter into and find rest for our souls. We enter into and fear ceases. Nothing can tamper with our peace. Praise God. Oh, enter in, O King of Glory. Enter in. Now let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 6. Praise God. Let us look at this door again, this open door. He that has an ear, I'm reading Revelation chapter 3, verse 6. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This thing saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, which no man can shut it. Hallelujah. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Hallelujah. Look at these words, these powerful words of the Lord. He says, I have set before thee an open door which no man can close. You see, we're not just, you don't have to look at the man outside. You see it? The man that closes the door is the human reasoning, your human beliefs. See it? The man from without can affect you only if you have humanity in you. See, remember Jesus Christ said, the prince of the world cometh, but he findeth nothing in me. See, meaning that he had nothing that is of man. That which is of man is of the earth. Man has his focus on this world. His beliefs is all on this world. His focus and everything is centered on this outer world. Hallelujah. But if we keep ourselves in the spirit and patiently wait on the Lord, if we confess the name of Christ, walk by faith according to the Spirit, daily, picking up a cross and walking daily according to the Spirit, this is the confirmation, this is the continuity that God requires of us, or rather that is required of us to enter into God's kingdom. Because some people try for some time and maybe certain evidence without might not seem favorable, and they give up and they lose out. Some people try, they are zealous initially, but later on they leave the faith to attend to their family, to attend to, you know, to making success in this world and to attend to doing things like men. And they shut the door upon themselves. Some people hear this message, you know, initially, and you know, they allow, you know, religious doctrines from, you know, and blackmailing doctrines of fear from their brethren in the churches, in the religious systems, to affect them. See it? They come to tell you, you know, that you are being deceived. They come to tell you that you do not forsake the garden of Bethany. See, your brethren in the churches come to tell you, you know, that, you know, you are walking against the will of God because you have the revelation of Christ, because you do not believe in the second coming of Christ in the heavens. They all begin to pray and fast for you. And at times you find yourself lonely. At times you discover that, you know, you have very few people to fellowship with. Some people allow these things to affect them. But you keep forgetting that even Jesus Christ was called a false prophet. The religious rulers of those days, the religious people of those days could not comprehend his coming. They could not recognize him. They did not agree with him. See, at times some people want to call for evidence of your church. They want to see a church with members numbering, you know, 1,500. Then they know that they feel that that is a sign that probably you are working with God. But they are all, see, this is the deceit that people fall into. You see, it's not by holding crusades where hundreds of thousands are in attendance that causes people to enter into God's kingdom. Let us not be deceived. Praise God. You have to have the revelation of Christ with you and keep it with you. Exercise yourself in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And await the dawning of the morning star in you. Await the dawning of that perfect day in you. See it? Wait patiently as the Lord administers that open entrance into his kingdom. He says he has set an open door before you, and no man can shut it. But there must be continuity. Hallelujah. Patience, endurance, stirring up ourselves with the word, meditating on the word. Praise God. And the Lord is faithful. He will lift you up in due season. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. He will exalt you in due season. He will take you across the barrier of death and lead you into the place of abundance. In a place of laughter, and people from without will see. And the Bible says they shall know that I have loved you. They shall know that you are called for the name of the Lord. And they shall seek your favor. They shall recognize the Lord in you, and they shall bow to the Lord in you. Isn't it written that at his name every knee shall bow? So there shall be patience. Amen. Patience. Continuity in the word. That key of David has been applied to the door in our lives. If we have heard this message and we want to confess and walk in it, we will find ourselves riding through that open gate. It is the promise of the Lord. It is the will of the Lord. Hallelujah. As we enter in through that open gate, we discover ourselves ruling and reigning over all, seated upon the throne in God's kingdom. Because in reality, we are called to glory. We are called to sit on thrones in God's glory. We are the ones that are called to sit. Isn't it written that he raised the poor from the dust and caused them to inherit a throne of glory? We are the ones he's lifting us from the dust. From the dust of humanity. From the dust of mankind. Of human living. So that we can live in the light of God. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? That we are being called from out of the darkness of this age into the light. Oh, hallelujah. We are called from the realm of no power and nothingness into the realm where we rule and we reign over all with Christ. Everything is restored to us as it was in the beginning. Hallelujah. So don't be deceived. The King of Glory is you. It's in you. Amen. It's in you. As you conform yourself to Christ and recognize the truth of your being, you will discover an open door. You will discover yourself riding through a gate back into your rest. You see, when one is upon his throne, he's rested. The king is rested upon his throne and he's seated. By the word of the king, the authority that comes out of the mouth of the king, he makes things happen. That is how it is when we enter into our rest. By the authority of God, we rule and we reign, and things happen for us. We are in harmony with creation, and we live in perfect peace. There is no fear. Hallelujah. There is no more torment. We overcome the unsinful, that is the unrighteous man. We overcome the nature that is contrary to God, and we be as satisfied with the righteousness of God in that realm. You come to the place where you lack no good thing. No more lack. But you live in complete harmony with God's creation. Everything becomes beautiful. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. In fact, when John saw the throne of God in heaven, you know, John, when he had passed through the door and entered into heaven and saw the throne, he saw the throne beautiful, transparent, glittering with light, like an emerald, a rainbow ran about it. See it? And he saw a sea of glass. Oh, hallelujah. That is the view of those who rule and reign with Christ. Everything becomes beautiful. Hallelujah. You enter into rest and you see the whole humanity as a sea of glass. You see the beauty and the glory of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And all authority is invested in you. You enter into your rest. So, brethren, stir up yourself and begin your ascent. Enter in through that door. Enter into the gates, O King of Glory. Enter back into your rest. Enter back into the place of kingship and authority. Amen.